word will give you wisdom for tomorrow. Today, His word will give you hope so you can face another day. His word will give you strength to know He's sovereign in His ways. His word will give you joy. His word will grow your faith. Consider His word. Consider His word.
From the heart of the Florida Everglades, this is the Consider His Word radio program. Today we want to encourage you to consider what God says in His Word, the Bible. I'm Pastor Arlen Payne, inviting you to join us as we open the Scripture together and consider His Word.
Consider His Word.
Welcome to another edition of Consider His Word. Don't you love the Word of God? To be able to pick it up and to read it and to hold it in your hand and to read the very words that God has for you every day. I hope you spend time in the Word of God every day and that you consider what God says, that you don't just read it, but you take a few minutes to think about it and to ponder it and to kind of chew on it, and to get a grasp and an understanding of what God's message is for you every day. I hope you spend some time in the Scripture. And I'm glad that you've joined us today as we consider the Word of God together. We've been talking about the mysteries of God, and we're going to look today at, where is God? I'm sure many have asked that question and wonder, where is God? Or perhaps in those hours when you're going through trials, going through hard times, and you wondered, where is God? Where is He hiding? Where can I find Him? The Bible says that if you'll seek the Lord, you can find Him. We're going to begin our study today in Colossians chapter 2, and so I would encourage you to find a Bible and join us there as we consider the Word of God today. While you're finding your Bible and finding your place there in Colossians, I want to remind you about our website at www.considerhisword.org. This is actually the fourth part in a series we've been talking about the mystery of God. At the website, you can go back and listen to the previous broadcast if you'd like to, and many of our other broadcasts are there as well. You'll find information about our ministry here at the Big Cypress Indian Reservation. And there's other great resources there, where you can study the Bible for yourself and be able to study the Word of God and find things for yourself. And I hope that this broadcast will help you understand a little bit more about who God is and specifically, where is God? Now, last week we talked about who God is, that He is the Lord, Jehovah, that He is the Creator, the Sustainer. We went through a whole list of things that God is, and you can go and listen to the previous broadcast about those. But today, I want us to consider this question, and that is, where is God? You know, we can see the work of God every day. We can see His hand in creation. Oh, have you seen a sunset lately where God paints the beautiful pictures across the sky? God does that for you every day. What a blessing that can be. But where is He? We can see His work and we can see His handiwork. The heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth His handiwork. But where can we see Him? Where is God? And the Bible has those answers as we look at the mysteries of God today. Look at Colossians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Paul said, "For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that the hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love unto all riches, and a full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Paul spoke to them about the mystery of God. And so we've looked at several of these, about who God is. We've looked at the eternity of God and some of his attributes and some things of that nature. Let's go back to the Psalms again. Psalm 139. Love this passage of scripture where David struggled with this as well. And David paints a great picture of trying to figure out where God is. And he said it this way, Psalm 139, beginning in verse 7. He says, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence?" In other words, where can I go to get away from God? "If I ascend to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and darkness as the light are both alike unto thee." He said, where can I go to flee thy presence? I've often heard of people trying to run away from God. Well, maybe it's because of some trouble that they're in, or maybe they're mad at God, or whatever the reason, they'll try to get away from God and they'll take off and go find some place where they're isolated, where they think they can get away from God. And when they get there, they'll find that he's already there. That's what happened to David. He found that God was already there. Because you see, I believe God is omnipresent. It means that God is everywhere. There's nowhere that you can go to escape his presence. David describes that here in this passage of scripture. I think as he tried to get away from God, that he could not find anywhere that he could escape the presence of God. So we could say that God is, and that God is everywhere. No matter whether you're in the city or in the country, or like we are here in the heart of the Everglades, I'll tell you what, God is here and God is working and doing some great things. Sometimes we don't see God because we're not looking for him. And so God is everywhere. But what about when the Bible speaks of him being on the throne? Psalm 11:4 says, "The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven." And certainly the Bible speaks about the Father sitting on his throne in heaven, and Jesus at his right hand. Isaiah gave us a glimpse of that. Go over to Isaiah chapter 6 and read a little bit of that passage there, where Isaiah saw the Lord and saw him sitting on his throne. Isaiah chapter 6, beginning in the very first verse, he said, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. One cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." He even saw it there. He said, "And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke." Isaiah saw the Lord on his throne, and he gives us that glimpse of God on his throne. So while we could say that God is omnipresent, omnipresent through his spirit, the Father, he said, is on his throne. And you know what? That means that he is still in control. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords, sovereign over everything. But here's something else I want you to think about, because the Bible was very clear about this. Not only can we say that God is everywhere and that God is on his throne, but you see, God also indwells the believer's heart. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20 says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own? For you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Realize that if you're born again, if you truly have trusted Christ as your Savior, that by the Spirit of God, he indwells you. That means he's in you. Now, Jesus told us about this over in John chapter 14, he explained it all. He said this, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." Jesus said that I'll give you another comforter. The comforter is the one who comes alongside to help us. Jesus said that the Spirit of God would indwell us. And I believe that this happens at the moment of salvation. This is not something you need to pray about. It's not something you need to go seek for or pray through to get it. It's not something that has to happen over and over and over again. Now, the filling of the Spirit, that's something different, and that's for another Bible study. And today we're talking about the indwelling Holy Spirit. And Jesus said that he would not only be with you, but that he would be in you, that he may abide with you, he said, forever. You see, this was a new thing. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would come and go and come and go. But now by the blood of Christ, we can be washed clean and we can be a vessel, the Bible says, of honor, whereby the Spirit of God can indwell us. And he said, therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. I believe that our body belongs to God, that it's God's temple. I've heard many people say, well, it's my body. I'll do what I want to with it. Well, the truth is that if you're a born-again Christian, if you claim to have Christ as your Savior, your body is not your own. It belongs to Christ. He says to glorify God in that body. Now, the indwelling Holy Spirit comes when we receive Christ as our Savior by putting our faith in him, asking to come in, following him. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call on him today. Trust Christ as your Savior. And the Spirit of God will come in and dwell with you, he said, forever. Our time is gone for today. Thanks for joining us. Join us again next week when we again open the Word of God and consider His Word.
His Word will give you wisdom for tomorrow, today. His Word will give you hope so you can face another day. His Word will give you strength to know He's sovereign in His ways. His Word will give you joy. Word will grow your faith. Consider his word. Consider his word. Consider his word.
Thank you for listening today. Visit our website at www.considerhisword.org. Please pray for this ministry and join us next week when once again we open God's book and consider His Word.
Consider His Word. Consider His Word.